This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
So we start in the obvious place. Billy wants shirt tag regulations. Billy, I don't understand why it is. Where did you come upon this revelation that you think that the government, I'm assuming, or who do you want regulating shirt tags?
I don't know if it's the government or the Better Business Bureau. I don't know who needs to do something, but something needs to be done about some of these shirt tags, Dan. Mm-hmm. They're starting to look like CVS receipts, some of these. Like, they almost hang out of the bottom of the side of the shirt. They get all itchy, and then if you cut it off, you lose the washing instructions, so you don't know if you could wash it or not. And then some of these tags say it's illegal to remove, so you don't want to do that. That's more of a mattress thing. But still, we need to have reasonable-sized shirt tags.
Right. The tags start tugging down on your shirt. You're right. They become uneven. It's uncomfortable. And you don't know which one to cut off, which one to keep on. It's very confusing.
Mm-hmm.
Did you say illegal mattresses? Illegal? You're going into a different realm here?
No, that's the truth. That's a fact. It says it's illegal to remove this tag on a mattress. Check your mattresses, people. There's so many people in jail because they remove those tags. Like, it's criminally underreported.
And not only it's an uncomfortable thing, the way the tag makes your back itch, but it makes it itch in a spot that you can't really scratch. So it's like the worst possible place to get an itch, and like that spot on your back, like I'm trying to do it right now, you can't really reach it.
My gripe is more with the side tags. They're side tags now. Ooh. Because the back just has printed on it, this is the size of the shirt, this is what you need to know. We'll just print all of that book that you have on there on the side of my shirt also if you want to do that. But I just don't want tags. Mm-hmm. Get rid of tags.
Just get rid of them? You don't want them at all?
I don't know. I mean, look, I'm not in the design business. I'm not in fashion. Whoever's in charge of fashion, figure it out. I don't know. There's these fashion police. Do something.
Your solution is to make it extinct?
Or regulate the size. Make it a reasonable size. You'd agree that a tag that's like 3 inches long is too long. Yes or no?
It's a bunch of unnecessary information on these tags. Am I right? I mean, tell me XL, tell me L, tell me medium. Like, what else do I need to know? I don't need to know where the shirt was made.
Well, apparently Billy wants the washing instructions. They're very important to him.
Nah.
Well, that should come like in a book. Maybe like on the tag, you give a little book, like a pamphlet, a manual for... Like anything else that you buy that comes like with an owner's manual,
maybe an
give
email.
Me an owner's manual.
Like an email.
Maybe.
Put it on the poll. Should your shirts come with a book of instructions? At Le Batard Show. What?
You're making me sound silly. No. You're trying to make me sound
just
silly.
Cleaning instructions.
Just an owner's manual.
An owner's manual. Okay. Put that. I'm sorry. Forgive me. Not a book. An owner's manual.
Instead of a tag.
I mean, to Billy's point, when is the owner's manual like attached to the item?
You're right. It's like wearing an owner's manual on your shirt.
That's stupid.
It's but I don't know. What is the information? I just immediately cut all my tags. I don't need any of the tags. I cut all of them.
That's a big mistake, Dan. There are
I didn't even know.
Well, first off, you can go to jail if it's a mattress, Billy.
I've been a criminal all my life. All my life, I get rid of tags. I'm a serial tag eradicator. Like, I had no idea. Why is it illegal? Because it's a fire hazard? Why is it illegal to take the tag off of a mattress? You guys don't even know?
Just don't do it.
Just don't talk about it.
Here's the deal. Don't question the law. If it's illegal, it's illegal. And we're telling you it's illegal. So don't do it.
I don't believe you guys on its illegality is my point. I believe that you guys are making something up to trick me. And I don't have time. And Mike Ryan's not helpful here. He's just pantomiming and saying a whole bunch of things while marinating in his giant Browns victory.
Yeah, I was nodding in approval saying federal offense.
Does anyone listening to the sound of my voice know why it's allegedly illegal to take the tag off of a mattress? Because I don't believe it is illegal. I am out here flouting that I don't know America's laws on national radio because you guys have me as my producers on this show. You guys have me ill prepared for this segment.
This is what I'll tell you. FamilyHandyman.com wrote an article on December 20th, 2019. This is why it's illegal to remove a mattress tag. So there you go. It's illegal.
Yep.
All right. You want to give
me? We don't need to get into details as to why it's illegal.
Just know that it is.
Why would you read it when you know it's illegal? I mean, you need the details. Mm-hmm. Someone to explain it.
All you need
is
the headline.
Why is it illegal to marry a horse? Who knows? It's illegal.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Is it illegal to marry a horse?
Oh, man.
Depends on the state.
See what family handyman has.
What if it's a state of arousal?
I'd say nay.
Oh, Jesus.
That was a good joke, Roy. Mike is radiant today. His Browns, he is radiant. That is the most impressive Browns victory in 20 years.
Yeah, Mike is back in the saddle. What?
That was good.
Thank you.
Yeah, I was screaming and cheering all game yesterday. You could say I'm a little hoarse.
This is definitely the Browns' heyday.
I'm just scanning the Zoom. Please, somebody, keep it going.
Let's move along.
No, that's a different animal. That's clearly Goofy.
Seems like he's hot to trot.
Hey!
Hello!
Oh, come on.
786-456-4837. Mike, don't... No, you started it. Really? Really? You're going to get dismayed because I'm taking calls on horse puns. You're going to get dismayed because I looked into the Zoom and everyone bailed on this. I want to take calls. Let the audience play with us.
Dan's not horsing around.
What? Someone rein him in.
Is there any horse collar penalties in that game yesterday?
Oh, done this like a stampede.
This segment is a nightmare.
Colt McCoy.
Yes! Yes! I saw that. The worst backfield since Joe Flacco and Frank Gore. Ladies and gentlemen, explain football to me. You're going to get analysis all over the place, and I'm telling you, Shirt Tag Radio is better than whatever it is you're going to get today, because on one, you know, it's a good thing, first of all, that we have 10 hours soon after January 4th of people who could talk about that Jets game on the ESPN radio lineup. But Colt McCoy and Alfred Morris beating Seattle. No one at this network knows anything about anything. No one. No one covering this sport knows anything about anything. Colt McCoy and Alfred Morris are going to go into Seattle with no Daniel Jones, with Seattle an 11-point favorite at home. How? How? Orlovsky. Explain it to me. Somebody, how? The Giants defense has been feisty all year. It ain't that. DK Metcalf, all of a sudden. What? Someone.
He provided the horsepower.
When you ask for someone, it was there. I was scanning too, and I didn't have anything better.
Who provided the horsepower? Who provided the horsepower?
Oh, Wayne AK. Gallman. Yeah. Wayne Gallman.
Yeah, Wayne Gallman certainly provided some horsepower.
Yeah, I like that back.
Yeah.
What happened? Someone.
Football what? Happened, yeah, Dan. What happened? Any given Sunday happened.
Joe Judge fought his offensive line coach, and it galvanized the New York Giants.
That sport... Every damn Monday, we come in here and we overanalyze it and we can't stop talking about it and we don't have any earthly idea of that Browns game. Who saw that coming? Somebody tell me who saw that Brown. We've been questioning the Browns all year. They're not, they, of all the teams with a record comparable to that one, they're the most questionable one. We all know the Titans are good. All of us know the Titans are obviously good. What the hell is 38-7 after they've played 3 minutes?
I thought it would be a close game. I thought maybe Tennessee would win at the end. What I didn't have it being was just through the air, torching them through the air. And they used the run. The numbers on the Titans against play action are bad, and they bit on some fakes. It was brilliant from Kevin Stefanski. And Baker Mayfield, told you he's hard to evaluate for a month because he was playing in terrible weather. He hasn't thrown an interception since Odell Beckham Jr. went out with injury. That was arguably his best game as a pro. Certainly non-Bengals division. It was a fantastic win. And point differential Twitter, again, that was a blowout. That was a blowout victory. That wasn't even tight. They totally just toyed with the Tennessee Titans.
You got to be careful. They're a good team, and it's playoff time, and everyone's jockeying for position.
Your performance recently has been horse bleep.
Don Levitard.
Hello.
Stugatz.
Wow, there it is. Limited fake Mrs. Doubtfire. Welcome to the program.
Imagine like a snow cone in Phoenix.
This is the Don Levitard Show on ESPN Radio.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. With insurance for cars, homes, boats, motorcycles, RVs, and commercial vehicles at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com. All guests on the Dan Levitard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Lawn.
So I want to ask you guys this question. Skip Bayless, I don't know if you guys saw this. Skip Bayless has basically had a really wonderful career, going from a guy who was a writer and journalist and columnist who wrote a lot about the Dallas Cowboys at the height of the Dallas Cowboys' excellence, which was a long time ago. They haven't had next to any of it since, but they've remained the relevant team that they are, really famous. The star on their helmet's a bit of a redundancy, at least in part because of what was happening with the Dallas Cowboys when Skip Bayless was covering them. Skip Bayless said on his show that Jimmy Johnson told him that he had a monster trade coming that was going to change the 1-15 Cowboys into something that mattered more. He was going to trade Herschel Walker for a whole bunch of draft picks. And really, at the time, that was considered a seismic type of thing, not just because Herschel Walker was being traded, but because Jimmy Johnson was assigning a value to the draft that other people weren't, because people were pounding on Jimmy Johnson quite a bit for trading Herschel Walker, his one star player.
Right.
And if you got that haul today for basically any player in the league outside of the greatest quarterbacks, it would be just a total distortion. It's sort of like what the Clippers had to trade to get Paul George, which wasn't to get Paul George. It was to get to Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. So they traded away everything. So Skip Bayless says this, that Jimmy Johnson told him, look, I've got a haul coming here for Herschel Walker. And what are your thoughts just there on that part of the story before I get to the punchlines, Stugatz?
That trade would never happen in today's NFL, that kind of haul for a running back.
Okay, but what would also never happen is Jimmy Johnson saying that to Skip Bayless, because Jimmy Johnson has gone on to Twitter and just said, never said this. And he's doing that to a colleague, and he's only doing it because he can. Jimmy Johnson's damn near 80 years old. He doesn't give a bleep anymore, and he just took out a colleague. Hey, that guy, yeah, we're paying him a bunch. Liar! You lie! And Jimmy Johnson and Aikman, both at that network, have no use for Skip Bayless. But what you can, it's really hard to undercut someone in three words that aren't go bleep yourself, then never said that. Just that's it. He just tweeted out what Skip Bayless reported, and then just said never said that. And who do you believe? Because it's so gratuitous. You can just let your colleague have it. You don't have to embarrass him, but embarrassed him in three words.
Yeah, believe Jimmy. I mean,
why would Jimmy tell? Why is Skip Bayless on television telling lies? Is he trying to be Stugatz? Like, what? Why would you lie about that? Did you think the expiration date on somebody calling you on it was gone?
I would assume that played into it, yeah.
It is a he said type deal, you know?
Well, who do you believe?
I mean, I believe Jimmy, but, you know.
I mean, this just basically boils down to who I like more at that point.
But why would Jimmy do that? There's no point in Jimmy doing that.
Well, I know why Jimmy would do that. Him and, like, he's backing up his quarterback, and they were around that team, obviously, as they built those teams. They were foundational pieces, and Skip Bayless was around them. They very clearly don't like Skip Bayless, and the old story about Troy Aikman consulting with his lawyers to find out exactly how much it would cost to punch Skip Bayless is around.
We talked about this a little bit in the Big Suey, but one of the things about yesterday, a number of interesting football things happened yesterday, but I don't believe there was a single one more interesting than what Bill Belichick did to Herbert. And the reason I say it, we've gotten used to it, but the reason I say it is because we have all of this money we pour into studying this sport, and you've got a defensive coach out there across 20 years who does stuff that no one can explain. They can just tell you that he does it, but they can't explain how Herbert yesterday looked like someone who didn't know what he was doing.
Right.
That Herbert, who has been the most overwhelming statistical rookie quarterback in the history of the sport, was a clown show yesterday. He was embarrassed by a defense that's been okay this year. It's been fine with a bunch of pieces. They won yesterday 45-0 with their quarterback throwing for 69 yards. And the way they won is because their coach neutered the Chargers rookie quarterback and embarrassed him in a way for all of us to see. And no one who covers football can explain it to you.
That and special teams. The explanation often is he'll take away your biggest
strength. That's not an explanation, Stugatz.
I know, but that's what people say.
But that's not an explanation. No one who is covering football, and we've got a lot of people doing it well at this network that can break down the schematic things that are happening out there, but no one could tell you going into that game how Bill Belichick specifically would make Herbert throw it to his linebackers. Like, just that Herbert's sitting there thinking something's open, and he's just seeing everything wrong.
Herbert has a rating for the season of 94.2. Yesterday, 43.7. He has a QBR for the season of 65.1. Yesterday, 8.8.
Dan has this weird thing where he gets so mad that there isn't one voice telling him exactly what's going to happen every Sunday.
No, Mike, the thing I'm mad about is that we pour all of this time, money, energy, resources, everything into studying this sport, and there's a guy who's been out there doing it for 20 years, and we still don't understand it.
And it's why he's regarded as the greatest head coach ever.
But how can it be this mystery as if he's some sort of, like, how can it consistently be just a magic act that no one's got the tricks to explain?
I don't know how Michael Jordan was so amazing, really.
The things that I'm seeing on Sunday, even though there are so many of them that you don't understand, Giants, Seahawks, yesterday, how the Browns came out. Because the Browns, I think we could all agree, even Homer Mike would agree, that the Browns, among those 8-3 type teams, are the most worthy of questions.
I think what happened in that Browns game is everyone falling for the media okey-doke. Look, the Cleveland Browns have had several, I'm not even researching this, several games that were decisive victories that ended up being one-score victories. Whether it's the first Thursday nighter against the Bengals, the Dallas Cowboys game, the Eagles game, the Texans game, they have so many of these. And you've convinced yourself, well, they don't look impressive in that victory, that you're not actually watching snap to snap and knowing exactly that the Cleveland Browns are doing exactly what they want to do. And they're doing so overcoming injury that is also not at all part of the national conversation. To me, this was a close game. The final score ended up being it. But the Cleveland Browns are underrated to a degree because people are just looking at scores and looking at the quarterback stat line and not paying attention to variables such as weather or exactly how the games went down.
Did you agree? Do you not agree with the premise that among those 8-3 and 9-3 teams, they're the one that comes with the most doubt and questions?
You've never seen them do it.
But you don't agree with what
Dolphins, yes, the Dolphins
are. Sounds like no, he doesn't agree.
Yeah, no. Okay, how many 8-3? Like, we're getting to the point now. They're 9-3. How many of those teams? Yes, I will say that the Cleveland Browns have most questions about them among the teams that are 9-3 because we haven't seen them do it before. What I'm saying is they got to the point where they were underrated because everyone bought into the same stuff. There wasn't a fresh opinion out in the media as to why to not believe in the Cleveland Browns. Everyone was just going off of final scores and box and stat lines.
I think the Bills have questions, Titans have questions, Dolphins have questions, and yes, the Browns have questions. But that team yesterday, if Baker could play like that, that looked like a team that could win a Super Bowl.
Did
they run the ball? They stopped the run. They could do
that. What you're saying,
consistently,
Stugatz, that's the best game I've ever seen the Cleveland Browns play since back to Bernie Kosar. That's the best game they played this century.
All I'm saying is they consistently this season have been able to do two things. Run the football, stop the run. They play very good defense. And if Baker, he's not going to do that every week. But if he could just not turn the ball over, man, they're going to be good.
It's Stugatz's favorite time of the day. At time.
Just seems like a hyperventilating overreaction to the most recent result.
Probably is.
Yeah, they don't have a good defense.
The only way they play defense is Myles Garrett running into your backfield and taking the football from you. That's
works
how they play
me.
Defense.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was out 2 games with COVID. Yeah.
Don Lebatard.
I am always on the wrong side of cool.
Stugatz.
Which is it better to be right now? Me or you?
Me?
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugatz on ESPN Radio.
The Dan Lebatard Show is brought to you by Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline. All guests on the Dan Lebatard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line.
I want to throw a question out to the shipping container, to everybody here. I want you to think about it before we go to Christine Lisi here. So you have a minute to think about it, because I've got a question for everyone in our audience and everyone here in the shipping container. Going home from the stadium yesterday, who felt the worst in the sport? What human being left the stadium yesterday and felt the worst about what had just happened? Because I've got a nominee and I want to see if any of you can beat me on it. But first, let's go to Christine Lisi.
And finally, left-handedness is also known as sinistrality, because left-handed people were once thought to be demons. Speaking of evil lefties, Dan, back to you.
Whoa!
Wow.
Whoa! I thought it was going to be a left-handed joke at Stugatz's expense. No politics around here, Lisi. Get out of here. You're going to get me in trouble. I've got a month left at the place, and you're going to get me fired, sort of, again.
I'm lefty and righty, so it's difficult. Like, I bat lefty, but I throw righty. It's crazy.
So does
I'm ambidextrous or something.
So does anyone out there, anyone in the shipping container, have a nominee for me on the person who left the stadium? Mike, why'd you wave your... I mean, it's not just that Stugatz couldn't get the ambidextrous joke right, but it's that he had the timing on it wrong as well, and then went straight to talking to you in the talkback, so he distracts me, and I can't do the show. What did you want him to do that you waved him off on?
I wanted him to screw up ambidextrous, because he's an idiot, and he's not supposed to know big words, and he actually nailed it.
I tried my best. I did.
Who do you guys think felt worse leaving the stadium yesterday? Roy.
Greg Williams.
Greg Williams. Now, I'm not sure about that. We will get to that at some point, I suspect. But again, we have Keyshawn Johnson, soon Bart Scott, Mike Greenberg. They will all break the holy hell out of that Jets game. So you can get that somewhere else. You can be here for horse puns. Chris, who felt the worst leaving the stadium yesterday?
Justin Herbert.
A good guess. 0 points, exposed by Bill Belichick.
I'm going to guess Carson Wentz.
Ooh, that's a good one. Lost his job, sort of, to Jalen Hurts. Billy, do you have a nominee here?
I was going to say Anthony Lynn.
Mike?
I was also going to go Carson Wentz.
Tony?
I was going to go Carson Wentz, but I'm going to go Matt Nagy.
That's a good one. Trubisky feels pretty bad. How bad do you guys think the Houston center feels?
Oh wow!
Guys think he slept last night? His team is down 26-20. They're on the 1 yard line. They're going to beat the Colts. I mean, the game. Like, come on! It's Deshaun Watson. All you gotta do is successfully get the ball back to him. It's the easiest part of your job. It doesn't involve someone hitting you who's very strong and 330 pounds. It's just snap it back there to your quarterback, who can catch just about anything, and don't snap it on the floor.
You might say, if you're a Texan fan, you know what? I'm okay losing that game. Better draft pick. Oh, no. Bill O'Brien traded that to the Dolphins.
Traded all of that to the Dolphins. That's got to be a hard way to sleep at night, right? You're because I always feel bad for the kickers. They bring out this Rodrigo Blankenship, and these violent men have been making each other bleed all game, and prayer circles and ambulances going to the hospital. And then in trots the guy with the clean uniform. And, hey, would you decide this for us with something that doesn't basically have anything to do with what we've been doing all day? Can you just apply your lonely expertise to this here, and we'll jump up and down on you? There was one game yesterday. I don't remember which one it was, whether it was overtime Vikings and Jags maybe, where the kicker made it, and it was just like, ho-hum, let's just leave. We're just doing this for the money. It's the pandemic. Like, who cares? We beat Mike Glennon. Congratulations.
I kind of put that fumble on Deshaun. You know what my wide receivers coach once told me? If you touch the ball, you catch the ball. Deshaun touched the ball, and he didn't catch the ball, so that's on him.
Coughed it up.
That is exactly what Billy would be like as a center going home at the end of that game. I did what I was supposed to do.
Did it touch your hand?
You got a hand on it.
I got it to you. You went, come on, you're the high-paid guy. I just bend over here and get hit in the head. And go, let's go. Hand. Do something with the ball. I got it in your general vicinity.
Didn't go over his head. It didn't bounce. He didn't snap it to the wrong person. It got there. Just come on, Deshaun.
Not a bad take. I saw like Deshaun Watson elude a sack like 15 times, but he can't catch a ball.
Fair enough. Boy, Anthony Lynn.
That's a good job.
That is a good job. But I mean, I think there were 5 punts by the Patriots in the game. On 3 of them, they had the wrong number of people on the field.
Yeah, I think they had 10 men on the field for that one return.
It can't happen like that when you're on the hot seat. Like, it can't.
He vowed. He said it would never happen again. Well, and he's right.
He's right, because if he's coaching next week for that team, I'd be really surprised.
It's Stugat's favorite time of the day. At time.
Stugatz, tell the people about Grainger.
Yep, for the ones who keep people and property safe, there's Grainger.
You lost 45-0 to a quarterback who threw for 69 yards. Cam Newton threw for 69 yards, Anthony Lynn.
Yep.
And you lost 45-0.
Don Lebatard.
He ain't scared.
Stugatz.
You love calling people liar on the radio.
Takes one to know one.
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugatz on ESPN Radio.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. News from the Dan Lebatard Show Nation. Someone has just hit us up on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed. Stan Warner Jr. tweets us the answer to a question asked earlier. It's illegal for the manufacturer or seller to remove mattress and pillow tags before sale. The tags serve the purpose of listing the materials in the mattress and pillows.
All right. So what you have happening there is the final answer to the question of the morning after that football Monday. The reason that there is a tag on that mattress and it's illegal to tear it off is because the seller must reveal to you what the ingredients of the mattress are, so to speak. Where does the phrase "so to speak" come from? What does it mean? I just said "so to speak" and it made me think "so to speak." Like, I don't understand why. I don't even understand why it is that we use that expression or what the origins of it are.
I think that also goes to tags, because you sew on the tag with the regulations that you need to speak, so to speak.
So we have at 11 o'clock Eastern, we have Stugatz's weekend observation.
I looked up, so to speak, and it is what it is.
Thank you, Mike, for that clarification. That helps me understand everything in a way that I did not understand it before. What was the conversation I was walking into here when I returned into the room? And because I'm going to guess.
What happened?
Hold on. No, I'm going to tell you what
happened. Minding my own business.
I'm going to tell you. Why do you know this is about you? Why do you know that this is about you when I haven't even accused you of anything yet?
I mean, no one else is in the studio. It's a pandemic.
Now, Mike is right there, and this was a conversation between all of you that I walked in. You may have noticed. I don't know if the audience has noticed this yet, but I know Mike has noticed it, and I know I've noticed it. We've got a bit of a reinvigorated Gotts here because free agency is approaching and he just sees money everywhere. And it's dawned on me that even by the Stugatzian standards of laziness, he's been especially lazy for about 6 years.
Thanks.
But he just realized, oh, wait, so January 5th, I can do Cameo? January 5th, I can just start doing some stuff where I can just cash in. And all of a sudden, we got a Stugatz who wants to work a little bit.
Yeah, we do. I appreciate, by the way, all the extra stupidities I did for the Dan Lebatard and Friends Network.
Yeah, I appreciate it. It didn't go unnoticed, Stugatz. He worked harder during the pandemic. We all did. Yeah. But I was just looking into the other side of the glass casually to give him some information. And the size of the Cameo logo that was on his phone was too large to ignore.
What? So I want to talk about this for a second, because I don't know what the rules are around here. I know Stugatz has wanted to do Cameo for a while, ever since We discovered that Antonio Brown was on Cameo, making a few extra dollars here and there, saying things that didn't make sense. Stugatz said to himself, wait a minute. People will pay me to just say things into my phone that don't make sense. And it's the laziest business idea and the easiest business idea and a way for Stugatz to simply make money that isn't allowed around here because they don't want to set the precedent of allowing all of their talent to cheapen the brand the way that Stugatz would.
I am speaking with the owners of Cameo. They're genius. I mean, they really are. It's a genius company. For me, it really started, perhaps for you, it started with Antonio Brown. For me, it was seeing Trey Wingo on there, and then I wanted a piece of it.
I think you got ESPN to take Trey Wingo on there because that's the reason they don't set those precedents, because someone like you is always around in the shadows to go urinate on the brand, and so the act of you trying to get in on the greed, I think, is why they took it away from Trey Wingo. I don't think ESPN people are allowed to do this sort of thing.
They're allowed to go on there now, I've noticed, but as long as there's a charitable element. And right now, the charitable element Stugatz is angling for is his own pocket.
That is correct.
Stugatz, I just want to make sure you know that this comes with work, right? If 100 people request a Cameo, you have to record 100 videos.
Yeah, but it's just,
it comes with money, too.
It's undistilled money that he doesn't have to share in very many places. And wait till you guys hear January 5th when all of a sudden he changes his wife's name legally to Charity. Because that is like, I saw, when I walked in here, what I saw is a happier Stugatz that I have seen in 6 years around here, because he's just seeing dollar signs.
Everywhere.
What do you think the going rate for Stugatz would be, hypothetically?
Well, I heard him saying $100, and I'm like, look at him, going to price himself out right away. Like, isn't going to try and reach the fans. It's just going to go straight for the greed. Like, no foreplay, just give me all your money.
I think if he sets it too low, though, he is going to disappoint a lot of people because he will never follow through because there will be too many requests. Right. So you got to – I think 100 is a nice starting point.
You get to set your own price? Is that how that works?
Yes, sir. Yeah. Well, I imagine he'll let the market dictate it early on.
Like Michael Buffer right now, if you want a message from him, it's $295.
That's a steal. That's a steal.
Yeah, Muggsy Bogues is $175, $175.
So what are you thinking? Where are you? I heard 100 when I came in. That's all I heard. That's all I heard, though.
I mean, Buffer, Nick Swisher's at 75.
You could be higher than Nick Swisher.
Yeah, I'm thinking I'm higher than Swisher, but I'm not quite Buffer. So
our audience would eat that up. Like, they would absolutely eat up the idea. But we would not get Stugatz. He'd be doing cameos during the show. Like, you would just hear him in the background instead of doing the show. Hey, Billy, I hear you.
That's
and
the
my
plan.
Good friend Frank are, have a big anniversary coming up.
Now, Andre Dawson's getting 70 per the Hawk. Steve Spurrier, the old ball coach, is $199. I mean, I'm more famous than Spurrier, am I not?
No, you are not. Put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Lebatard Show. You are more famous than Nick Swisher, though. Is Stugatz more famous than Steve Spurrier? And in the interim, you too can have something like this from Antonio Brown after January 4th.
Happy 38th birthday. And I hear it's your second anniversary wedding. I hear you've been working really hard as a defense attorney, and your birthday is here. Happy birthday. We celebrate you today. Hope your birthday is booming.
That kind of heartfelt sincerity, what price can you possibly put on that? It is priceless. The treasure of getting Antonio Brown to pour out his soul to you. I am so scared of the next version of Stugatz. It is terrifying.